This morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 67. We're going to look at Psalms 67 through 71 under the title, God's Goodness. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. We're going to see that goodness played out in these different Psalms today. Psalm 67 is going to talk about God's blessings. Oh, that brings goodness to our lives. And then Psalm 68 is our theme, God's goodness. Psalm 69, God's help. And Psalm 70, God's deliverance. And then Psalm 71, God's salvation. God's goodness. Let's thank Him for it and open in prayer. Father, we're grateful for Your goodness. All the time, in every area of our lives. Help us, Lord, to appreciate it, to praise You for it, and to tell others about it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Psalm 67, an invocation and a doxology, invoking the presence of God, praising the Lord. This is a psalm that is to the chief musician, and it's on stringed instruments, and it's a psalm or a song. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. So this is praise to the Lord, followed by the fact that He may bless us. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Praising God, it releases the wonderful faith within our hearts to be part of His life. He inhabits the praises of His people. And as we praise Him, He blesses us. And the earth is going to yield her increase. God's going to give us crops and produce of all sorts and all descriptions. We need to be thanking Him and praising Him always. Now, Psalm 68 talks about God's goodness. First of all, in the first 31 verses, God is good to us. Therefore, verses 32 to 35, we must praise Him. God's good. He blesses us. We need to thank Him. We need to praise Him. Psalm 68, this is a psalm of David. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. By His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. So we are to let God arise. Let God arise in our hearts through praise and worship and receptivity. Let God arise in our families. Let God arise in our discussions. Let God arise in our arguments, in our questions, in every aspect of our lives, in our decisions, in our actions, in our reactions. God arise within us. Verse 4, sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Praise and wonderful worship music is in the background. You can get it on CDs, radio, the internet, most anywhere. Make up your own songs. Sing to Him. Praise Him. And then praise His name. Extol Him. The word extol means to praise or to build up. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. Not just the clouds in the sky, which He does ride on, but the wonderful clouds, the Shekinah, the glory of God, that cloud that led Israel through the wilderness all of those years. By His name, Yah. Praise Him as Yah. Yah is a more intimate form of Yahweh. It means the Lord. And then rejoice before Him. not just to Him, but before Him. Rejoice in talking to other people about the Lord. Rejoice in your work. Rejoice in your sleep. Rejoice in your eating. Rejoice in your activities, whatever they might be. Rejoice in Him. Jerry, why are you joyful? My joy is of the Lord, is my answer. Jerry, I notice that you don't mind working and doing this or doing that. My joy is in the Lord. Jerry, I know you're going through difficult times, but somehow you seem to be sustained and buoyed up during this difficult time of your life. I'm rejoicing before the Lord. So joy should be on our lips and our hearts as we praise His holy name. Oh, He's wonderful. Verse 5, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So He is a father of the fatherless. If you're young and you've lost your father, or even older and you miss your father and His guidance and direction, turn to the Lord. You're a widow, a divorcee, too many kids, not enough money. Turn to the Lord. He is your supplier. He's your husband. God sets the solitary in families. For those that are without family, may you find a family in the Lord. Go to your local church. Make that your family. When you are lonely and want to get married, ask God to give you His choice and His will regarding a mate, and then build your family as the Lord gives you leave. But the rebellious one, on the other hand, dwells in a dry land. And those who are bound into prosperity, He brings those who are captivated by the world's debt and poverty and problems. He'll bring you into prosperity when you trust in Him. Verse 7, O God, when You went before Your people, when You marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby You confirmed Your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided for Your goodness for the poor. So the Lord is providing. He went before Israel in the wilderness. Remember that pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night? It led them. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. So let the Lord be your director today. Lord, be my cloud. Guide me, direct me, move me, stop me. Whatever I'm supposed to be doing, Lord, give me the guidance and the direction to do it. And then the Lord is awesome. When the Lord moves, the earth shakes. The kingdoms of the devil begin to shake and rattle and roll. The heavens dropped rain at the presence of God. He's the supplier. He's the provider. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. The mountain where the law was given was shaking and trembling when God gave the law to Moses. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain whereby You confirmed Your inheritance. He showed that we are His inheritance and He is our inheritance, and He provides for us by rain, which brings forth crops, which gives us food, which keeps life within our limbs. When it was weary, God was the one that provided. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from Your goodness for the poor. That's our theme today, goodness. Your goodness was given by providing for the poor. Verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. So God gave the word. He gave the word to Moses. He gave us the living word in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God has given us His precious word so that we can not only receive it and have faith come forth in our lives for salvation, but we are to take this word to the ends of the world. And now it's so much easier through the internet and other methods of high-tech speed, Facebook and Twitter and what have you. We can get God's word out in the farthest regions so much easier than before. He talks about God's wonderful land of Israel, verse 15. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. And while he did dwell on that Mount Bashan so long ago, guess where he dwells now? In heaven, to be sure, everywhere, because he's omnipresent, but he also dwells in the hearts of believers. Lord, dwell in my heart, and let others see your goodness manifested in my life. Verse 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. These are the angels that he has there to protect us and direct us. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among people, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. That's a scripture that's picked up in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. He talks about the work of Ephesians chapter 4, as Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts among men. Some think this refers to the fact that when the Lord died and was in the tomb during those 3 days, that he went down into Hades and released or led captive those who'd been captivated by death up into paradise, preached the gospel, Peter might suggest to us, to the lost, not that they could be saved, but they could hear what they have missed by not receiving Jesus as the Messiah, God's provision. So God led captivity captive. And he has led you and me captive as well. We were captivated by the world and by sin and by the devil. And he has led us into his captivity, his benevolent, loving captivity. Led us out of captivity to be his, to be devoted to him. You have received gifts among men. Well, Ephesians talks about giving gifts out to his people. But he also has received gifts. We are his gifts. His gifts to do his work, his gifts to be his family. Lord, I want to be a good gift for you. Thank you for your goodness. May I be in turn a good gift to you. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. So blessed be the Lord as we bless him with thanksgiving and our praise. He daily loads us with benefits. I love that verse. He loads us with benefits. He just heaps upon us benefits without measure, benefits without number. The God of our salvation. He's the one who saves us and delivers us and provides all of our needs. Our God is the God of salvation. There's no other God who can save. There's no other God who exists. We can't save ourselves. We are a very poor substitute for God. But God is the one who saves us. He saves us physically. He saves us emotionally. He saves us spiritually. He saves us financially. He saves us in our relationships. He's the God of salvation. And to God the Lord belong escapes from death. How many times have you escaped from death in your life? And how many times have I? We have no idea. Many times we've been close to death and didn't even know it. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. So he'll take care of the disobedient, to be sure. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. So as God comes into the sanctuary, as we start a service, we call that the invocation, invoking or inviting the Lord to come in and to manifest himself and to bless this gathering. Why not have an invocation in your life every morning? Get up and say, Lord, I invoke your presence. Release your power. Rise up within me, O God, and be praised and blessed. And of course, there were singers in those days in the temple. The singers went before the players on instruments. They followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels, like a tambourine. Bless God and the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There's little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Those are the different tribes of the nation of Israel. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. So God wants to strengthen in our lives what he has done for us. He has called us. He has equipped us, gifted us, enabled us. Strengthen it, Lord. Some days I feel weak. Some days I feel as though I'm discouraged and I'm down and I don't want to go forward. Lord, strengthen us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. And that's going to happen in the millennium. The Lord's going to reign right there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And people from all over the world are going to bring presents to the Lord. And you and I as believers are going to be here at that time. We're going to be here. We're going to be enforcing God's laws and be his policemen, so to speak. We'll be coming to Jerusalem every year bringing gifts to the king ourselves. But we don't need to wait for the millennium. In our hearts today, we can bring our gifts. What can I bring the Lord? My service, my tithes, my offerings, yes, my praise. Praise is the most wonderful gift, and you can give it to God every day and all day. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. All of the world is going to come and worship the Lord during the millennium. And the Lord has a very effective way of having church attendance. If you don't come, you don't get any rain. You don't get any rain, you don't have any crops. So, once a year, you go with your gifts and worship the king, or you're not going to eat. It's very simple. And again, our job will be to help enforce the Lord's rules here on earth at that time. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. Oh, let's not let the rocks cry out. Scriptures say that if we do not praise God, then the rocks will. Let's not let the rocks take our place. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old, indeed he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. God rides on the heaven of heavens. Oh, he is supreme. There are paintings. I think there's something on the Sistine Chapel wall, as I recall, or the ceiling, about the Lord riding in heaven on clouds. Let him ride as the master in your life and my life. He sends out his voice. Oh, it's a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. He has that strength. He has that excellence. You are more awesome than your holy places. God is so awesome. We need to praise him and worship him because of that. And he gives strength and he gives power to his people. Oh, don't try to get the strength and power on your own. Oh, you might go to the gym. You might have a personal trainer. That's good. That's good. That helps to build physical strength and stamina. But let it be God who builds the real strength in your life and the power in your life. Even as you go to the gym, take him with you. Lord, how much time do I spend on the treadmill? How much time on the track? How much time with the weights? But more importantly, how much time, Lord, in worshiping you, and what do I do today to glorify your name? Psalm 69, God's help. He wants to help us. I am beset by enemies, Lord, verses 1 to 12. Save me, verses 13 to 36. This is a psalm of David. It's an urgent plea for help in time of trouble. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. David had a lot of troubles in his time. Oh, we think about being king of Israel and how wonderful that was. But oh, the battles he had to fight. That trek up the mountain of high power was unbelievable. King Saul was chasing him because he was jealous, wanted to kill David. because he knew that David was God's choice to replace Saul, who had been disobedient to God. And all those enemies, as you look at Jerusalem on the map, as you went to the Mediterranean Sea in those days, moving west, you saw the Philistines coming against David. To the north, up there in Tyre and Sidon, modern-day Lebanon, over across the river, even Syria, across the river to the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites in what is today modern-day Jordan. And so there was a constant battle. He was fighting one battle after another, and oh, he needed to have a sense of God's stability. He sees God as his rock. He sees that you're the only solid footing I have in this world. I stand on this rock, Lord. I seem to be sinking in deep mire. The world is just like quicksand, like a quagmire. There's no standing. There's no standing in this world. Without the Lord, to me, it's quicksand. There's nothing secure and eternal, nothing spiritually strong and vibrant. And so, Lord, I need your stability. I need your strength. Be my rock. Did you ever get into a situation in the ocean, let's say, or a lake, and you were on unsure footing, and you couldn't really, the sand began to give way a little bit underneath, and you got scared, or it was muddy, and then you found that rock. And oh, you stood on that rock, and you felt secure. That's what it's like with the Lord in this world. Too much quicksand. Too much miry clay. But the Lord's the one who sets us up and keeps us strong. Verse 4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. I'm trying to live for you honestly, Lord. I've stolen nothing, but I still must restore it. Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. So, Lord, I've made mistakes. I've done wrong. I don't want anybody else to be misled or misdirected. I have had leadership as king of Israel, he is saying, and I've done things that are wrong. I don't want to cause somebody else to stumble. I want them to keep their eyes on you, not on me. And that's a good prayer for all of us, because people look at us and they're watching us to see how we're going to act and react. Sometimes we mess up. Lord, don't let somebody else stumble and turn from you and turn from the way because of me. If I mess up, I need to confess it, and they need to keep their eyes on you. I don't want to hurt anybody, Lord. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have tried to serve you, but sometimes I've been ridiculed because of it. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Some people are actually ostracized in their families because of their faith. My stepfather was Jewish before he became a believer, and his family turned against him. His own father considered him to be dead to him. Until about the age of 96, his father was restored to my dad. There was healing eventually, but he'd been turned away because of his being a Christian. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gates speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. People make fun of me at the office, at work, at play. So what? Show them Jesus. Show the love of Jesus. And pray they make that same decision to become fools for Christ. But as for me, verse 13, my prayer is to you. I'm not going to worry about them. I'm going to pray to you. O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Lord, this world is tough. There are many enemies and many problems. I feel like I'm sinking in that quicksand. God, help me to be on that rock. Look to Jesus. Upon this rock, the Lord Jesus, I'll build my church. We think about that as far as church growth and expansion. But what about it individually? Am I not the church of God individually when Christ dwells within me? And upon that rock, Jesus, he'll build me as his church, build me up spiritually to be strong. God builds his church one individual at a time. He builds me up, then he builds you up, but he builds the next person up, and then we become that mighty church of God. Verse 16, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Now in verse 19, we have some important verses that are picked up in the New Testament. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, for there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. So we find in verse 19, it's picked up in Hebrews, and then we find in verse 21, coming up now, a reference to be found in Matthew and Mark, Luke and John. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. David is referring metaphorically to the troubles that he's having, but he's also a prophet. He doesn't know it, but he's prophesying about the Lord Jesus on the cross. And because of the pain and the suffering of the nails and the spikes in his hands and feet, they're going to offer him gall, this vinegar drink, to try to deaden the pain somewhat. Let their table become a snare before them, verse 22. That's picked up by Romans. And their well-being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in their tents, for they persecute the ones you have struck, and talk of the grief of those you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. So we find here abundant references picked up in the New Testament. David feels as though many are against him. He's deserted. He's oppressed. And so it was with Jesus. And so it is with us as we serve the Lord as well. There'll be those who turn against us, to be sure. Verse 29, but I am poor and sorrowful. There's that recognition that apart from you, Lord, I can do nothing. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. So, my salvation comes from you, Lord, and you alone. I am poor and needy, and I have no hope except for you. I cannot save myself. I can't even breathe on my own. I can't even cause my heart to beat properly, much less to save myself. But I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to magnify you with abundant thanksgiving. And Lord, you're not looking just for sacrifices, animals and what have you. You have the blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that you want is thanksgiving and obedience and praise. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion or Jerusalem, build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Beautiful psalm, Psalm 69. Now, Psalm 70 talks about God's deliverance. Defeat my enemies, Lord, verses 1 through 3, and then deliver me, verses 4 and 5. Again, a psalm of David. It's a prayer, really, for relief from his adversaries. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love you, your salvation, continually say, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to help me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. David's Psalms are simple and to the point. I need help. I cannot make it on my own. Be my God. Be my deliverer. Be here for me, Lord. Very simple, very clear. Peter, walking on the water towards Jesus, years later, as he was beginning to sink, would just say, Lord, save me. Simple, direct, pure, clean. And the Lord did. If you're sinking today, my friend, if you're sinking, if you're in trouble, if you've got all sorts of problems, call upon him. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to be there for you completely. Our last psalm for the day is Psalm 71, God's Salvation. God is the rock of salvation. The first 13 verses come under the category, Deliver me, Lord. And verses 14 to 24, I will praise you. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. You are my rock and my fortress. Two words that speak of stability there, strength. Stand on the rock, hide behind him as your fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. He took you right out of your mother's womb. A very dangerous process. Many fatalities have taken place at that time, but God is the one who gently has brought you forth out of your mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. So we are a wonder to many. They can't figure us out. Sometimes they admire us, maybe sometimes they don't. But we definitely are an enigma to the world. But God is our strong refuge. And again, we're going to praise him and bless him and thank him. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. So when I get old and I can't defend myself, I need you, Lord. I need you from getting me out of the womb all the way to taking me to the tomb. Verse 12, O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. So I need you right near me, Lord, closer than the air that I breathe. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So I was young and I'm now old, or about to be old. Don't forsake me. Give me the opportunity to live and to live well and strong in you until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. In other words, I want to finish my course. I want to finish the work you call me to do. Jabez in the Old Testament prayed, increase my borders. Let's add to it, Lord, help me to fulfill all of my borders. Complete the work you've called me to. Don't let it be cut short by disease or misfortune or poverty or something else. Help me to finish the work you've called me to do. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things. O God, who is like you? You, who have shown me great and severe troubles, shall revive me again. Yes, God shows me troubles in this world. In this world you will have tribulations, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome them. And so he's going to show us his deliverance as well as those troubles. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you, that musical instrument. And your faithfulness, O my God, to you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seeks my hurt. So beautiful Psalms, Psalm 67 through 71, talking about God's goodness, his blessings in Psalm 67, his goodness in Psalm 68, his help in Psalm 69, his deliverance in Psalm 70, and his salvation in Psalm 71. Do you know God? Do you know his goodness? Are you experiencing it? Is he loading you down today with benefits? If not, my dear friend, call upon him. Call upon him to come into your heart, to forgive you for your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to give you his righteousness instead, to continue to bless you and to load you down with benefits, even in the midst of adversity, to be there for you, be your rock, be your fortress. And then when time comes that old age has come and gone, and the chapter on this book of life is closed, you'll be with him for eternity. Not just floating around in heaven on some cloud, but doing what we're doing in these Psalms, praising him and blessing him. Oh, and yes, coming back here on earth in your resurrection bodies to reign with the Lord for the millennium, the thousand-year reign, bringing those gifts to him in Israel every year. Do you know the Lord? If not, let's do it now. There's no day like today to receive the Lord. The Apostle Paul said today is the day of salvation. If you were to die right now, do you know for a certainty that you would go to heaven? And if so, based on what? Your good works? Your good looks? No. Man's righteousness is as filthy rags before God, the Word says. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door to your heart, and I knock. If you'll open that door, I'll come in and I will dine with you, and you with me. He wants to come in. What do you have to do? Open the door. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I'll lead you in a brief sinner's prayer. Are you ready? Let's bow our hearts now before the Lord. And repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, go right ahead and say it. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins and was raised for my justification. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Live your life in me, and I will live for you, and I will serve you, now and always. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.